الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه، أما بعد. الحديث 24 عن أبي ذر الغفاري رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه عز وجل أنه قال: يا عبادي، إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. يا عبادي، كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم. يا عبادي، كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم. يا عبادي، كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني أكسكم. يا عبادي، إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم. يا عبادي، إنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني. يا عبادي، لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا. يا عبادي، لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا. يا عبادي، لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل إنسان مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. يا عبادي، إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها لكم ثم أوفيكم إياها، فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. رواه مسلم. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى: هذا حديث عظيم يرويه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه عز وجل، وهو ما يسمى بالحديث القدسي نسبة إلى القدس، وهو الطهر، لأن الحديث على قسمين: الأول حديث قدسي، وهو ما كان من كلام الله سبحانه لفظه ومعناه. الثاني حديث نبوي، وهو ما كان من كلام الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالحديث القدسي لفظه ومعناه من الله، ويرويه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه بلفظه ومعناه. وأما الحديث النبوي فمعناه من الله، أي هو وحي من الله ولفظه من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. ففي هذا الحديث أمور عظيمة، قوله سبحانه: يا عبادي، وتكرار ذلك مع كل فقرة من فقرات الحديث يدل على تلطف الله جل وعلا بعباده ورأفته بهم، فإنه غني عنهم ومع ذلك يدعوهم ويؤكد عليهم لأجل مصلحتهم. والعباد جمع عبد، والعبودية هي التذلل والخضوع لله سبحانه وتعالى، فكل الناس مؤمنهم وكافرهم وجنهم وإنسهم وملائكتهم، كل الخلق عباد لله بالمعنى العام، كلهم عباد لله مملوكون له يتصرف فيهم، مخلوقون لله، لا أحد يخرج عن هذا. قال تعالى: إن كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا. وهذه عبودية قهر واضطرار، لا أحد يخرج عنها، تجري عليهم أقدار الله وقضاؤه. النوع الثاني عبودية خاصة، وهي عبودية الاختيار، وتكون بطاعة الله تعالى والانقياد له، وهي باختيار العبد إن شاء فعلها وإن شاء تركها، فهي عبودية خاصة. قال تعالى: إن عبادي ليس لك عليهم سلطان. قال: إن عبادي، المراد بالعبودية الخاصة المراد بالعبودية الخاصة وهم المؤمنون، ليس للشيطان عليهم سلطان، لأن الله قد حماهم منه بسبب أنهم لجأوا إلى الله وعبدوه سبحانه، فهذه عبودية خاصة. فالله سبحانه يخاطب جميع العباد العبودية العامة والعبودية الخاصة، فيقول: يا عبادي، بهذا النداء الإلهي. قوله سبحانه: إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. الظلم في اللغة وضع الشيء في غير موضعه، وهو ثلاثة أقسام. القسم الأول ظلم بين العبد وربه، وذلك بالشرك، وهذا لا يغفره الله. قال تعالى: إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. وقال تعالى: الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم، يعني بشرك، هذا لا يغفره الله إلا بالتوبة. قال تعالى: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به. النوع الثاني ظلم بين العبد ونفسه، وذلك بالمعاصي والسيئات، فهو الذي ظلم نفسه، يعني وضعها في غير موضعها اللائق بها، ظلم نفسه فيما دون الشرك، وهذا يغفره الله سبحانه وتعالى لمن يشاء. قال تعالى: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. النوع الثالث ظلم بين الإنسان والناس، بالتعدي عليهم في أموالهم وأعراضهم ودمائهم، وهذا لا يغفره الله إلا إذا سمح المظلومون، وإلا فلا بد أن يقتص للمظلوم من الظالم، لأنه حق مخلوق لا يسقط إلا بعفوه أو استيفائه. والله تعالى حرم الظلم على نفسه، يعني منع نفسه من الظلم، لأنه لا يليق به سبحانه وتعالى، فلا يعذب أحدا بغير عمله، لا يعذب أحدا إلا بما عمل، وهذا هو العدل. أما لو عذبه على شيء لم يعمله فهذا ظلم، والله سبحانه منزه عنه لقوله: إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي. قوله: وجعلته بينكم، أي بين العباد، محرما، حرم الله الظلم، وأخبر أنه يأخذ الظالمين ويهلكهم. قال تعالى: ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون. فمهما ظلم الإنسان وتمادى، فإنه لا بد أن يواجه ويلاقي ظلمه عاجلا أو آجلا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه: واتق دعوة المظلوم، فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب. سواء كان المظلوم مسلما أو كافرا، لا يجوز ظلم أحد، حتى الكفار لا يجوز ظلمهم. قال تعالى: ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا، اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. ودعاء المظلوم مستجاب ولو كان كافرا، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يرضى بالظلم والتعدي. قوله سبحانه: فلا تظالموا، أي لا يظلم بعضكم بعضا. هذا تحذير من الله سبحانه وتعالى من تظالم العباد، وقد حذر الله من الظلم في كتابه في آيات كثيرة، وتوعد الظالمين، وضرب لنا الأمثلة للظلمة الذين أخذهم الله عز وجل تحذيرا لنا من الظلم. ومن عادة الإنسان أنه ظلوم إلا من رحم الله. قال تعالى: إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. إلا من من الله عليه بالدين والإيمان فإنه يتطهر من هذه الخصلة. قال المتنبي: والظلم من شيم النفوس، فإن تجد ذا عفة فلعلة لا يظلم. قال سبحانه: يا عبادي، كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم. كل العباد ضالون عن الحق إلا من هداه الله، أي دله وأرشده إلى الحق وثبته. فلولا هداية الله بإرسال الرسل وإنزال الكتب ونصب الأدلة للناس لبقوا في ضلالهم، ولكن الله من رحمته بهم هداهم ودلهم وأرشدهم ووفقهم وثبتهم. والهداية على قسمين: الأول هداية بمعنى البيان والإرشاد، وهذه حاصلة لكل أحد، فالله قد هدى الناس جميعا المؤمنين والكفار، بمعنى أنه بين لهم وأرشدهم ودلهم على الصواب بإرسال الرسل وإنزال الكتب. قال تعالى: فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن تبع هداي فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. وقال سبحانه: وأما ثمود فهديناهم فاستحبوا العمى على الهدى. فهديناهم يعني دللناهم على الإيمان وعلى الطريق الصحيح، لكنهم لم يقبلوا الهدى بل استحبوا العمى على الهدى. هذه هداية عامة. الثاني هداية خاصة، وهي هداية التوفيق والقبول، وهذه لا ينالها إلا أهل الإيمان. فقوله: كلكم ضال إلا من هديته، يعني وفقته للحق، وهي الهداية الخاصة. أما الهداية العامة فهي حاصلة لكل أحد. قوله: فاستهدوني، أي اطلبوا مني الهداية، بأن تقول: اللهم اهدني، اللهم دلني على الخير، اللهم وفقني له، اللهم ثبتني عليه. تكثر من الدعاء أن يهديك الله عز وجل. أهدكم، هذا جواب الأمر. فمن طلب من الله جل وعلا الهداية بصدق وإقبال ورغبة هداه، لأنه قريب مجيب سبحانه وتعالى، وقد وعد أن من استهداه فإنه يهديه، وهو سبحانه لا يخلف وعده. فهذا مما يؤكد على العبد أن يكثر من سؤال الله الهداية.
الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه، أما بعد، فقد سمعنا مطلع هذا الحديث القدسي الذي اشتمل على بيان جمل من أحكام الدين الإسلامي، جمل من تمسك بها عرف معناها وعمل بمقتضاها فاز فوزا عظيما، رحم نفسه بإقباله على فعل الطاعة وزجره لها عن فعل المعصية، والتسليم لقضاء الله وقدره، والتعرف إليه سبحانه بفعل ما أمر وترك ما نهى عنه وزجر، وقبول ما جاءت به رسله ونزلت به كتب. من اعتصم بذلك فاز فوزا عظيما. وقد تعرض الشارح حفظه الله لبيان الظلم وما فيه من الخطر، ولخطره جاء ذكره في الحديث مقدما، إذ قال الله تعالى: يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي. وحق كما ورد في القرآن قول الله عز وجل: وما ربك بظلام للعبيد، أي ليس بظالم لأحد من عباده. بل له كمال العدل، إذا نزهت ربك عن الظلم فأثبت له كمال العدل. وفيما يتعلق بالحديث عن الظلم، فالظلم وضع الشيء في غير موضعه، وهو ثلاثة أقسام، كان كما نبه الشارح على ذلك. إلا أن القسم الأول ظلم العبد لنفسه، وذلك بترك الطاعات واجتراح المعاصي، فلا يقال ظلم العبد ربه، ظلم العبد لنفسه بترك الطاعات واجتراح السيئات على اختلاف أنواعها، وأعظمها الشرك الأكبر والكفر الأكبر والنفاق الاعتقادي والإلحاد المخرج من الملة، وما دون ذلك من المعاصي أيضا هو ظلم للنفس، ولكن ظلم دون ظلم. وكفر دون كفر، وشرك دون شرك، وفسوق دون فسوق، وكلها لا خير فيها، بل ما كان عظيما منها فعقوبته أشد. فكل معصية وقع فيها المكلف من عالم الإنس والجن ظلم نفسه بها، وباب التوبة مفتوح ما دام على قيد الحياة، فيرشد الكافر إلى الدخول في الإسلام، والمشرك إلى ترك الشرك واعتناق التوحيد وتحقيقه، والفاسق يرشد إلى حقيقة الإيمان، وهكذا أهل الإلحاد على اختلاف درجاتهم فيه يرشدون إلى الاعتصام بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. وظلم العبد لغيره إما في الأموال وإما في الأعراض، إما في الأموال بالسرقة أو الغصب أو الانتهاب أو الغش في المعاملة أو الغش في العمل الوظيفي، كل ذلك ظلم للغير، يظلم العبد نفسه بظلمه لغيره، وهذا مبني على المقاصة والاستيفاء من الظالم للمظلوم يوم تبلى السرائر وينكشف ما كان مستورا في حياة العمل ظاهرا على رؤوس الخلائق. فالعاقل من حاسب نفسه هل هو من الظالمين لأنفسهم والظالمين لغيرهم، فعليه أن يبادر فيما بينه وبين الله من المعاصي يتخلص منها بالتوبة والأعمال الصالحة المكفرة للسيئات، وفيما بينه وبين الخلق بإعادة الحقوق إلى ذويها وطلب المسامحة باطنا وظاهرا، فإنه في الدنيا يقدر أن يسمح، وأما في الآخرة فإنه لا يسمح أحد عن أحد، حتى الوالد لا يسمح عن ولده ولا الولد عن والده، ولا يجزي أحد عن أحد شيئا. فالبدار البدار إلى محاسبة النفس وإلى التخلص من المظالم على اختلاف أنواعها، ظلم العبد لنفسه كما سبق وظلمه لغيره كذلك. فإن باب التوبة مفتوح ولكن بشروط التوبة المعروفة: ترك الذنب والندم على ما فعل والعزم على عدم العود، والله سبحانه وتعالى قد وعد بمغفرة الذنوب لمن توفرت شروط التوبة لديه. قال سبحانه: وإني لغفار لمن تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا ثم اهتدى. بل وعد الله تبارك وتعالى لأنه الكريم، وعد التائبين أن يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات كما في سورة الفرقان: والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. فنسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يحفظنا بحفظه وأن يرزقنا الإقبال على فعل الطاعات وترك السيئات بنية صالحة وعمل جاد حتى نستطيع بحول الله وقوته أن نأتي بما يرضي الله عنا ويكون فيه رحمة لأنفسنا.
أحسن الله إليكم. سؤال واحد: أولا، الإخوة في مسجد دار السنة في لندن يشهدون الله على محبتك في الله عز وجل ومن أجله.
جزاهم الله خيرا وأحبهم الله، أحبهم الله كما أحبونا فيه، وهكذا المؤمنون يحب بعضهم بعضا وإن لم يلتقوا، لأن رابطة الإيمان أوسع رابطة. إنما المؤمنون إخوة.
يقول السؤال: هل بعض أوجه الإصرار على المعصية يمكن أن تؤدي إلى الكفر؟
ينظر إلى العمل، لا يقال بالكفر إلا إذا دل نص من الكتاب والسنة على أن عمل كذا وكذا كفر، وأما ما دامت المعصية دون الكفر فهي لا شك في خطرها، وأن المعاصي يجر بعضها بعضا، فيخشى على أهل البدع والضلال وكبائر الذنوب أن يجرهم الشيطان إلى أكبر الكبائر كالإشراك والكفر والنفاق.
يقصدون الإصرار على المعصية.
الإصرار على المعصية لا يقال عنه إنه كفر، ينظر إلى المعصية التي أصر عليها العاصي، إن كانت كفر أو شرك أو نفاق يقال بأن ذلك كفر، وإن كان دون ذلك فلا يكفر العاصي مهما عظم ذنبه، ولكن يبين بأنه على خطر، إما على بدعة مضلة وإما على كبائر اقتنصه الشيطان لتكون سببا في شقائه وعقوبته الطويلة، وأما التكفير فلا يحكم عليه بالكفر إلا إذا عمل عملا يكفر به بدليل الكتاب والسنة.
هذا وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد، on the authority of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari رضي الله عنه, on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم narrating on behalf of his Lord, the blessed, the exalted, that he said, O my servants, I have forbidden oppression for myself and have made it forbidden amongst you, so do not oppress one another. O my servants, all of you are astray except for those who I have guided, so seek guidance from me and I shall guide you. O my servants, all of you are hungry except for those who I have fed, so seek food from me and I shall feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked except for those I have clothed, so seek clothing from me and I shall clothe you. O my servants, you commit sins by night and day, and I forgive all sins, so seek forgiveness from me and I shall forgive you. O my servants, you will never attain harm in me so as to harm me, nor will you ever attain benefit in me so as to benefit me. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as pious as the most pious heart of any one man amongst you, it would not increase my kingdom in anything. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to be as wicked as the wickedest heart of any one man amongst you, it would not decrease my kingdom in anything. O my servants, were the first of you and the last of you, the human of you and the jinn of you, to gather in one place and make a request of me, and I were to give everyone what he requested, it would not decrease what I have any more than a needle decreases the sea when put into it. O my servants, it is only your deeds that I charge you with, and then recompense you for them. Therefore, whoever finds good, then let him praise Allah, and whoever finds other than that should blame no one but himself. Narrated by Imam Muslim. Sheikh Salih Fawzan Hafidhullah said in explanation of this hadith that this is a great hadith. This hadith is a great hadith which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrates about his Lord, and this is what is labeled as hadith Qudsi. Hadith Qudsi nisbatan al-Quds, yani in reference to Quds which is tuhur, the purity or purification, something which is pure. Hadith Qudsi, yani coming from the word al-Quds which is tuhur, yani purity. Because the hadith is of two categories, or the hadith is of two types. The first one, hadith Qudsi. The first type is hadith Qudsi. And this is what, or the Sheikh said, this consists of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wording and the meaning. The wording of the hadith and the meaning is from Allah Azza wa Jal. The second type of hadith is hadith Nabawi, prophetic narration. And this is the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the hadith al-Qudsi, the wording and the meaning is from Allah. Hadith Qudsi, the wording and the meaning is from Allah. We request the sister to keep the level of the noise down, please, يعني, while we go through the lesson. Barakallahu fikun. So the hadith Qudsi is the wording and the meaning is from Allah. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates it from his Lord. With the actual words of Allah and the meaning. As for the hadith Nabawi, the prophetic narration, then the meaning is from Allah. And as for the wording, it is a revelation from Allah. And the wording is from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh says, in this hadith are great affairs. In this hadith are great affairs. The statement of the Messenger, or the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith, O my slaves, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, wa tikrar dhalik, and the repetition of this word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my servants, and he repeats it more than once in every beginning of paragraph of this narration. This serves as proof of the kindness to Allah, from Allah Azza wa Jal to his slaves, and showing يعني, care for them, because he is all sufficient. He is free for, يعني, he's in no need of them, and nevertheless he still calls them and he reassures them for their benefit. And the Sheikh said, Al-Ibad, the word slaves, is plural for abd, for slave, singular. And ubudiyya, slavery, is tadallul al-khudu', humility and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every person, whether believer or disbeliever, whether jinn or mankind and angels, all of them or all of the creation are slaves to Allah in a general meaning, or in a general way. All of them are slaves to Allah. They are owned by Allah. and he deals with them in however he wishes. And they are created, they have been created for Allah. No one يعني, can reject this, and no one can go out of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in kullu man fi samawati wa ardi illa ati ar-rahman abda. Every person in the heavens and the earth, every person in the heavens and the earth would come to the Rahmat, the most beneficent, as a slave. Every person in the heavens and the earth would come to the Rahmat, the most beneficent, as a slave. And the Shaykh said this type of slavery is by way of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is irresistible, يعني, that no one can go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. No one can go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, I'm not a slave of Allah. So this is by way of necessity and by way of force, that they are slaves of Allah, whether they like it or they do not like it. So nothing leaves this slavery, this type of the general type of slavery. And the decree of Allah and His judgments is passed upon them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes His judgment and decree upon the slaves, and they cannot reject it and they cannot resist it. The second type of slavery is specific type of slavery. Second one is specific type of slavery, and this is the optional one. The person has the option to fulfill this type of slavery, and it is by way of showing obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showing submission towards Him. And also it is by the choice of the slave. If he wishes, he will implement it or he will do it, and if he wishes, he can abandon it, this type of specific slavery. So this one is specific. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan." Indeed, you have no authority over my slaves. Indeed, you have no authority over my slaves. And also the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He said, "Indeed, my slaves, inna ibadi." The Shaykh said the intent in this word, my slaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the specific type of slavery. A specific type of slavery. And they are the believers. Naam. And the Shaykh said, so the shaitan has no authority over the believers, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected them from him. And this is because they have sought refuge in Allah, يعني from the shaitan, and they have worshipped Allah, glory be to Him. So this type of slavery is specific type of slavery. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses all of His slaves, and in brackets the Shaykh said the general slavery and the specific one, and He says to them, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, نعم بهذا النداء الإلهي, with this type of calling from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Lord, or from Allah the Ilah, the God. So the statement of the messages, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I have made oppression prohibited for me, or have prohibited oppression for me, and I have made it prohibited amongst you. So do not oppress one another. Naam. So the Shaykh said, the word oppression or dhulm linguistically means to place something in its incorrect place. And it is of three types or three categories. The first one is oppression between the slave and his lord. Oppression between the slave and his lord. And this is by way of shirk, when a person commits shirk. And Allah does not forgive it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, shirk is great oppression. And also He says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ. Those who believed and they did not join, or they don't mix their faith with any oppression. So the Shaykh said, meaning oppression here is referring to shirk. This is the type, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive. This Allah will never forgive shirk except with repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Indeed, Allah does not forgive that someone is associated with Him. The second type is, or the second category is oppression between the Lord and Himself, between the slave and Himself, or the oppression of the slave to Himself. And this is by way of sins and types of disobedience, and he would be the one who oppresses himself. So the person would be an oppressor to himself, and he would put himself, or he would place himself in a place where it is not befitting for him, or it's not appropriate for him. So he would oppress himself in other than shirk, in other types of sins other than shirk, or lower than shirk. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive, as the Shaykh says, to whomsoever He wishes. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah does not forgive that someone is to be associated with Him, and He forgives other than that to whomsoever He wishes. The third type, or third category, if I'm going too fast for our brothers and sisters who are writing, just let me know. The third type, or the third category, is the oppression of the mankind, or of the person, between him and the people. The oppression of the slave between him and the people. And this is by way of transgressing over them, by way of taking their wealth, or attacking their honor, or shedding their blood. And this does not, this Allah does not forgive it, except if the people who were oppressed will forgive the person. If they forgive the person, Allah will forgive it then. Other than that, Allah will not forgive it. So the Sheikh said it is a must that the person who has been oppressed would take his revenge, or he would take his right from the oppressor, because this is a right, this is a right for creation, for someone who's created, that cannot be removed except with his pardon. Except when the person pardons this oppressor. Naam, or by way of him being punished. The carrying of Allah's punishment against this person, then there's no more sin upon him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made the oppression prohibited for him or for himself. Meaning the Sheikh said that he would not oppress, or he would stop himself from oppressing, and he would not oppress, because this is not appropriate and it does not befit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would not punish anyone for other than his actions. Alhamdulillah. Allah would not punish anyone for something other than the things that he did. And he would not punish the person except with that which he did. And this is the complete justice, the Sheikh said. And this is the justice. As for if Allah was to punish him for something that he did not do, then this is oppression. This is oppression, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from that. لِقَوْلِهِ, for his statement, إِنِّي حَرَمْتُ ظُلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي, I have made oppression prohibited for me. As for the statement of Allah, وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ, I have made it between you. The Sheikh said, meaning between the slaves. When Allah says, I have made it between you, meaning between the slaves. مُحَرَّمًا, I made it prohibited. The Sheikh said, Allah made oppression prohibited. And he told that he would take their presses and he would destroy them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمِلُ الظَّالِمُونَ, and do not think that Allah is heedless of what the oppressors do. So no matter how much the person oppresses and how much he transgresses, then inevitably he would face his fate, and he would face the result for his oppression sooner or later. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Mu'adh, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, وَاتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ, and avoid the supplication of the one who is oppressed, for indeed there is no barrier between it and Allah, between the supplication and Allah. And the Sheikh says, whether this person is a Muslim or a kafir, this person who's been oppressed, whether he is Muslim or kafir, regardless of whether he is Muslim or kafir. So it is not permissible for anyone to oppress anyone, even the disbelievers. It is not permissible to oppress them. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ, and it should not force you, or the oppression or the transgression of a group of people should not push you not to be justice, or not to carry out justice. Rather be just, it is closer to piety. It is closer to piety. And the supplication of the oppressed one is answered. The supplication the supplication of the person who has been oppressed is answered, even if he was a disbeliever, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is not pleased with oppression and transgression. And the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا, so do not oppress one another. The Sheikh said, meaning that you do not oppress one another, amongst yourself. And this is an admonition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ones who oppress one another from his slaves. And he warned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned from oppression in his book in many verses. And he also threatened those oppressors. And he gave us examples of those who were oppressors, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he took them. How he punished them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives examples of those people. And these examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us of the oppressors and how Allah punished them, this is all to warn us from oppression. And it is from the custom of the person, or it is from the natural state of the human being, that he is full of oppression. This is the natural state of a human being. Except, of course, those who Allah have mercy upon. Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. So Allah said about mankind, indeed he was full of oppression and disbelief. Or indeed he was full of oppression and ignorance. except of Sheikh says those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his favor upon with يعني, religion, that they have they follow their religion, and also he bestowed his يعني, favor upon that they have iman, they have faith. So such people would free themselves from this attribute. They would free from themselves from this attribute of oppression. Al-Mutanabbi said, this poet, known poet, his name is Al-Mutanabbi, he said, وَالظُّلْمُ مِنْ شِيَمِ النَّفُوسِ فَإِنْ تَجِدْ ذَا عِفَّةٍ فَلَعِلَّةٍ لَا يَظْلِمِ. And he said in a line of poetry, يعني the meaning, the translation of the meaning, he said that oppression is something which is instilled in the human being, يعني as a natural state. And if you find a person who's يعني عفة, that he has he's chaste, then even for a reason to be a person who's oppressor, he would not do it. You'd find a person who is يعني, a good person, he's chaste, even for a reason that caused the person to be an oppressor, he would not do it. In Arabic? In English. So he said that oppression is from the attributes which are instilled in the person as a natural state. And if you find a person, a good person that has يعني, good character, even for a reason that calls for an oppression, he would not do it. He would not oppress. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my slaves, all of you are misguided except those who I have guided. So seek guidance from me and I will guide you. So the Shaykh said, all of the slaves are misguided from the truth. All of the slaves are misguided from the truth except those who Allah have guided. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him and showed him the way to the truth. And he made him يعني, firm upon it. So if it wasn't for the guidance of Allah by way of him sending the messengers and the revelation of the books and also establishing the proofs يعني, upon the people, then they would remain in their misguidance. If it wasn't for all of that, then those people, they would remain in their misguidance. But يعني, by the way of the mercy of Allah upon them, he guided them to the truth and he showed them the way. And he gave them he granted them the success and he made them firm upon it. And the Sheikh said, guidance is of two types. Guidance is of two types or is of two categories. The first one, hidayah bima'na al-bayan wal-irshad. The first type of guidance is guidance which refers to clarification and يعني showing and guiding to something, يعني clarifying and guiding to something. And the Sheikh says, this takes place, يعني, or this is practiced by everyone. This type of guidance is practiced by everyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guided the people, all of them, whether believers or disbelievers, in such a way that he clarifies for them and he shows them the correct path by way of sending the messages and revelation of books. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And when a guidance from me, or when a guidance comes to you from me, so whosoever follows my guidance, there is no fear upon them, and they shall not be miserable. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. As for Thamud, or as for the nation of Thamud, we have guided them, but they have preferred the blindness or the misguidance over the guidance. So the Shaykh said the word here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ, we have guided them, يعني ثَمُود, the Shaykh said, this means that we have showed them the faith, we have showed them iman, we have guided them to iman, and to the correct path. But however, they have rejected that, they have rejected this guidance, and they have preferred to remain upon their misguidance, and upon their blindness. And the Shaykh said, this is a general guidance. This type of guidance, the first one is a general type of one. The second one, hidayah khasa. Second one is specific type of guidance. وَهِيَ هِدَايَةُ التَّوْفِيق وَالْقُبُولِ. And it is the type of guidance which is the success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the success and acceptance. And the Shaykh said, and this one will not be achieved or will not be acquired except by the people of iman. Only by the people of faith. So the second one is a specific type of guidance. And it is the guidance of success and acceptance. The guidance of success and acceptance, and this should not be achieved except by their believers. And so the statement of Allah, كُلُّكُمْ ضَالٌ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُ. All of you are misguided, or all of you are astray, except those who have guided. The Shaykh said, meaning that except those who have granted يعني, the haqq, have given them the success to find the haqq, or to follow it. نعم. And this, the Shaykh said, is the specific type of guidance, خاصة. Or restricted type of guidance. As for the general type of guidance, then this happens for everyone, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. The second one is only for the believers. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَاسْتَهْدُونِي, يعني seek guidance from me. seek guidance from me. The Sheikh said, meaning request guidance from me. Request and ask me for guidance. By way of saying, O Allah, guide me. O Allah, show me the path to goodness. O Allah, make it easy for me to follow it. O Allah, make me firm upon it. And you increase from the dua, you increase in the supplication and invoking Allah that He guides you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you. Ahdikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and I will guide you. The Shaykh said, this is an answer to the command. This is the answer to the command. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, and this is the answer if they follow the command. So whosoever requests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guidance with truthfulness and with going only to Allah, turning only to Allah, and while seeking that which Allah has for him or has prepared for him, then Allah will guide him, because he is qareeb al-mujib, he is close, and he is one who answers subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that any person who seeks guidance from him and he asks him and requests guidance from him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he promised that he will guide him. So he subhanahu will never break his promise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never break his promise. And this is from the things which reassure the slave, this is from the things which reinforces the fact that the person or the slave should increase invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicating to him and asking him for guidance. So our Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali hafizahullah, he said in commentary of what we have read from the explanation of Sheikh Sa'd al-Fawzan, he said, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the peace and salutations upon Muhammad and his family and his companions and those who follow them in goodness, he said, to proceed, we have heard the beginning part of this hadith Qudsi, which included which contained the clarification of some of the statements, which is in regards to the rulings in Islam, regards in some of the rulings in the religion of Islam, and also in regards the rulings in of which that if the person holds on to and he understands the meanings of them and he acts upon them, then he will achieve great success. Naam, such person would have or would show mercy to himself. Such person has shown mercy to himself by way of implementing the good acts of obedience, and also disapproving and rebuking himself from following or from falling into sin, and also submission to Allah's decree and judgment, and also acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of following his commands and abandoning that which he had prohibited. Naam, and also the acceptance of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messengers with and that which he revealed in his books. So whosoever holds on to that, whosoever clings to that, he will achieve great success. Now, then the person who explained, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, may Allah preserve him, the Sheikh says, an explainer, or the person who explained this hadith, may Allah preserve him, he began clarifying what is oppression. He began clarifying what is oppression and how dangerous it is, how dangerous oppression is. And due to its danger, it has been mentioned in this hadith in the beginning, due to the danger of oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the beginning of the hadith. When he said, Ya ibadi inni harramtu dhulma nafsi, O my slaves, I have forbade oppression for myself and I have made it forbidden amongst you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the beginning of the hadith. And also as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, and your Lord was not an oppressor to the slaves. Your Lord was not an oppressor to the slaves. The Shaykh said the meaning of this verse, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress any of his slaves, rather he has the complete justice and the absolute justice. And if you free your Lord, or if you negate from your Lord oppression, then affirm for him the absolute justice. If you negate from your Lord oppression, then affirm for him the complete and the absolute justice. And also that which is in regards to oppression, the Sheikh said oppression is placing something in its incorrect place. And it's of three types. Naam, as the Sharih or the Sheikh of Saleh Fawzan mentioned in his explanation. And as for the first one, the Sheikh said, as for the first category, where it said the oppression of the slaves, or the oppression between the slave and his Lord, the Sheikh said it is not to be said that, but rather the oppression of the slave to himself. The oppression is for the slaves to himself. And this is by way of abandoning the ways and the means of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also falling into the ways of disobedience to Allah and falling into sin. So you do not say that the slave oppresses his lord. You do not say that the slave oppresses his lord. Rather, he oppresses himself. When he does not fulfill the rights of his lord, he is oppressing himself. He is not oppressing his lord. Naam. And this is, as the Sheikh said, by way of he follows into sin and he abandons obedience. This is how he oppresses himself. Different types of sins, whether any type of sins, and the greatest of them is shirk, major shirk and major disbelief. يعني all types of sins that the person, when he falls into it, he oppresses himself, and the greatest of those sins is major shirk and major disbelief, and also النفاق الاعتقادي, hypocrisy to do with the belief that the person holds, and also الحاد, يعني rejection and atheism. نعم, atheism, that the person he has some rejection in him. And anything other than those sins, then it is sins. And you would say about them, that's kufr duna kufr. يعني they are disbelief, but does not take the person outside of the Islam. So it's minor disbelief. And also shirk duna shirk. It is shirk that does not take him outside of Islam. Yes. And also fusuq duna fusuq, that openly sinning, but also does not take him out of Islam. And such. And the Sheikh said, however, all of them have no goodness in them. All of them hold no good in them. Rather, any of those sins, if it was يعني, great, if any of those sins were great, then, or يعني, any of those sins, the great sins, then the greater the sin, the greater the punishment. The greater the sin, the greater the punishment. And every sin that the person falls in, the person, the mukallaf, the one who's obliged to act, whether mankind or from the jinn, yes, then if he falls into any sin, any type of sin, then this person, he oppresses himself if he falls into any of those sins. And also the Sheikh said, the door of repentance is still open. The door of repentance is open as long as the person is still alive. The door of repentance is still open as long as the person is still alive. So the disbeliever is guided and is shown to and is asked, yani he's to be asked to enter into Islam. And as for the mushrik, the person who worships someone beside Allah, who associates personally with Allah, then he is to be shown to abandon his shirk. And the fasiq, the one who sins, and he sins openly, then he is guided, he is shown to the reality of iman, and to abandon the sins that he falls in. And likewise, the people of ilhad, the people of denial, and the people of rejection and atheism, such people, يعني, according to their different levels and according to their different rejection and the amount of their rejection that they have in them, they are guided and they are shown to hold on to the book and the sunnah, to refer back and go back to the book and the sunnah and believe in them. The second type is the oppression of the slave to the people around him. The oppression of the slave to the people around him in regards to their wealth. يعني, by way of stealing them, snatching their wealth يعني, forcefully, and also deceiving the people, deception, whether in dealings يعني, dealings between the people, or in his job, يعني, his occupation. When a person works and he has a job or an occupation, then also deception is from the oppression of the slave to others. All of that, the Sheikh said, is ظلم للغير. All of that is oppression to others, and the person, he oppresses himself with it as well. So when a person, he oppresses others, he also in return, he oppresses himself. And this is the Sheikh said, when he oppresses other people, this is the punishment for this is the prescribed punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone transgresses and oppresses someone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, it is for the punishment of Allah to be carried out against him, or the person who he oppressed will forgive him and pardon him. Naam. The person who oppressed, if he escapes from this prescribed punishment, and the person the person who is oppressed does not forgive him, then in the day of judgment he will be recompensed for that which he did, in a day which all of the secret affairs will be brought out, and everything will be revealed. Everything that was hidden and that was covered up will be brought out and will be uncovered. And this one would be in the presence of all of the creation. This action that he did, and it was hidden or was covered, will be brought out and will be exposed at the heads of all of the creation. يعني at the presence of all of the creation, and will be exposed in front of them. And the wise one, the Sheikh says, is the one who accounts himself and is the one who frees himself from any type of oppression. Naam, and he's the one who rids himself from all types of oppression by way of repentance and also carrying out good deeds. Naam, and also that he rectifies that which is between him and the creation. Naam, and he does so, if he oppressed some of the creation, he does so by returning their rights to them. If he took anything from them, he will return their rights for them, and he will ask them to forgive him and pardon him, because he could be forgiven in the dunya. In the dunya, that the person could forgive him, he could pardon him in the dunya. As for the hereafter, he will not be forgiven. This person who is oppressed, he will not forgive the oppressor. Even the Sheikh said, the father will not forgive his son in that day, and the son will not forgive his father, and no one will hold any benefit for anyone. No one will hold any benefit for another one. So the Sheikh said, so we have to rush into ridding ourselves from oppression and freeing ourselves from oppression in all of its types. And so the oppression of the slave to him, of himself, the oppression of the slave to himself, and also to others, all of this, the door of repentance is still open for it. However, it has conditions. The repentance has conditions. Firstly, the abandonment of the sin. You have to abandon the sin which you are repentant for. Secondly, you have to regret. You have to have remorse. You have to be remorseful for the sin that you have committed. Thirdly, you have to intend and have the will not to go back to the sin. You have to have the intention and the will not to go back to the sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had promised such people who fulfill these conditions that He will grant them His forgiveness. Yes? So those who fulfill these conditions and implement them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised them to grant His forgiveness upon them, or to grant them His forgiveness. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنِّي غَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And indeed, I am full of forgiveness to those who repent and believe and they do righteous deeds. And the Shaykh said, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had promised those who repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather He promised those who repent that He will change their sins. He will replace their sins, or He will exchange them with good deeds. Naam, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather He promised those who repent to Him that He will exchange their sins with good deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. And those who do not invoke beside Allah other than Him, and they do not kill the soul which Allah has prohibited except with the truth, and they do not fornicate, or they do not perform illegal sexual acts, we said وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. And the people who do such will face punishment. And the people who do such will face punishment. يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخُلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانَا. He will, or the punishment in the day of judgment will be multiplied for him, and he will abide therein disgracefully. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Except those who repent and believe and carry out good deeds. So such or those people, Allah will exchange their sins with good deeds. Allah will exchange their sins with good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah was all forgiven, all merciful. So we ask Allah to preserve us with His preservation, and to grant us the will to follow His obedience and to implement the acts and the means of obedience, and to abandon all types of sins and the means of sinning with correct intention, with a sincere and correct intention, and also to act and strive sincerely upon that, so that we can enter, so that we can come in the with the will of Allah, with the will and the power of Allah, we can come with that, or we can fulfill that which pleases Allah, and will be as a way of showing mercy to ourselves. Naam. So then the Shaykh was mentioned to the Shaykh that the brothers in Dar Sunnah, they mentioned to him that they love him for the sake of Allah, and they take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a witness for this feeling. And the Shaykh said, may Allah love them. May Allah, the one who they loved me for, love them. And likewise are the believers. Likewise are the believers, they love one another. And even if they do not meet. Likewise the believers, they love one another even if they do not meet. And the connection or the relationship or the connection that they have and a tie they have of faith is the strongest of any ties or any relationships. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أُخْوَى. Rather, the believers are brothers to one another. Now, so the question was, that was put to the Shaykh, that is insisting upon a sin or being persistent upon a sin lead to kufr, or can the person be declared as a disbeliever? The Shaykh said, it is to be looked at the action that he does. It is to be looked at the action that he does, and it is not to be said, or it is not to be judged straight away to be a disbeliever. Now, except if he does an action, which in the Quran and the Sunnah, there's يعني, a clear text that to say, or there's clear, it is clear in the Quran and the Sunnah that this action is disbelief. As for as long as this action is dun al-kufr, less than kufr, is not disbelief, then the Shaykh said there's no doubt this action or this sin is dangerous. This action is dangerous, and no doubt that the sins, they pull one another. They pull one another and they drag one another. So it is to be feared for this person that يعني he falls or he becomes from the major for the people of the major sins, نعم, and that his sins will lead him to the major sins, يعني shirk and other major sins, and that the shaitan will drag them until they reach shirk because of their sins. They commit sins which are less than shirk, but inevitably because of the shaitan's pressure and his whispers, he will lead them to shirk. And the Shaykh said, however, insisting upon a sin is not to be said, يعني, if a person insists upon a sin and he does not يعني, cease to stop it, then you do not say about this person he's a disbeliever straight away, but rather you look at the sin that he's committing. If it is disbelief or shirk or hypocrisy, then we say this is disbelief or shirk or hypocrisy. As for if it is less than that, then we do not say that he's a disbeliever or that this is disbelief. But rather you clarify for him that this is a sin. As for takfir, as for declaring people to be disbelievers, then يعني, the person should not do this. You cannot declare someone to be disbeliever except in a predicament where the person, he fulfills an action or he falls into an action which is mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah that it is disbelief. Except in a case where the person does an action which is mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah that it is disbelief. صلى الله على محمد وعلى صحبه وسلم.
لا
نعم يعني ما يرضى العفو منه
لأنه قال ظاهر وباطن.
كيف يعني ظاهر وباطن؟
وقال يسامح ظاهر وباطن.
والله ما كتبت أنا. نعم.
لأن بالإنجليزية ما لأن العفو إيش قال إذا هي هنا يستطيع أن يسامح. فالأحسن أن تقول بالسماح منه هنا لأن في الآخرة لا يسامح.
نعم. So the brother just يعني asked to repeat the part where the Sheikh mentioned that the people or the people who oppress one another, يعني the person when he oppresses the creation, and the Sheikh mentioned that يعني you have to seek the forgiveness of the person, yarhamukallah, seek the forgiveness from the person, a pardon from the person in this dunya while you can. As for the hereafter, he will not forgive you even if you request from him. In that day, no one will benefit another person, no one will forgive another person. Because, and the Shaykh said, and the father will not forgive his son, and like vice versa, the son will not forgive his father. And no one holds any benefit for one another. So it's better to ask, if you oppress someone, you ask the forgiveness from him here, so that he forgives you, because the day of judgment, there's no chance for you to ask forgiveness from him. Yeah? Naam, barakallahu feekum. Thank you.